I'm speaking with Dr. Melissa Madera, creator of The Abortion Diary, a podcast of people's stories about their experiences having an abortion or with abortion. She started the project in 2013. Melissa, thanks for speaking with me today. Could you start out by describing The Abortion Diary?
Well, The Abortion Diary is a podcast on abortion stories, and I started as a space for people to be able to share stories that they normally can't share or don't know who to share with, and a place for people to listen. And basically, I wanted anyone in the world to be able to listen to these stories and feel connected to someone else who's had this experience. So that's basically what the podcast is and what it's about.
And why did you set out to start this project?
Well, I really wanted to listen to other people's stories. I had an abortion when I was 17, and I didn't talk about it until I was 30. And by the time I was in my mid-30s, I really wanted to start talking about it. And I wanted to meet other people who've had this experience. And I felt like I was alone and I wanted to be part of a community. And that's how it all began. I really wanted to hear. I really wanted to listen. So I looked for a podcast online and I didn't find anything. So I decided to start one.
Is there something specific that happened when you were in your 30s that made you want to talk with others?
Yeah, I really started being in communities with people who were working in reproductive health and reproductive justice issues. And I heard people start talking about abortion. And so I thought, well, I can also talk about abortion and I can talk about my own abortion. But it still took a couple of years before I really basically outed myself and started talking to people really openly about my abortion experience.
What is the process of locating women and others who would like to speak about their experiences?
Yeah, the process has changed over the years. When I first started the project, I was working in New York City and I was living in New York City. And so I would just meet people in my day-to-day interaction. So the first few people that I interviewed were people who I met and who were part of my life in some way or another. Mostly they were strangers, but I met them in ways in which I was in community with other people. So I met people through my yoga community. I met people through my birth doula community because I was a birth doula. And that's how I started to meet people who wanted to share their stories. And at first it really surprised me because it's something that we don't talk about. And then once I started talking about it, I started meeting other people who just offered to share their experiences. And then a few months after starting the project, I decided I wanted to travel around the country meeting anyone who wanted to share their abortion stories with me. And so I set out to just very randomly travel to different cities. And then when I got to those cities, I usually stayed with someone who knew someone I knew or someone I knew. And I still do that to this day because I self-fund the project, so I can't pay for accommodations. And so when I started meeting people who allowed me to stay with them, they would tell their friends and people in their community. And that's how I met those people. So they would just sort of spread the word and people would email me or contact me. Or people that I met would just say, oh, I have an abortion and I'll share it with you. I'll share the story with you. And so that's how the second part of the project started. And now I still meet people once in a while, or like it is still through word of mouth. But a lot of people have found the project through the internet and they have contacted me. So now people just email me and they tell me they want to share their story. So that's how I ended up even in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. Someone contacted me wanting to share their story. And so I decided to travel here. And I have about 150 people sort of on a wait list because they've contacted me in places where I, you know, are far away. I'm just not there, you know, and it would be wonderful if they were all in the same place, but they're not. And I do this one-on-one with every single person. So now it's really about people finding me on the internet, or if they read something online or an article that mentions my project, they'll contact me.
And what are the different backgrounds of the women and other people? Because you pointed out that you've also have testimony from men that have told their stories. And what do they have in common, and what kinds of differences have you noticed?
Well, they all have had abortions, so they all, or they were partners of people who had abortions, so they were all involved in a personal abortion story and experience. But their experiences are all very different because, you know, people live in different places. They have different backgrounds growing up. They have different ideas of what abortion is. So everyone's experience is very, very different. And their story is different. No one's story is ever the same.
What do they have in common?
Right. So I think one of the things that they have in common is that most of them don't ever talk about their abortion experiences. Mm-hmm. It's something that they've either, even some people did share while they were in the process, but never talked about it afterward and or told very few people. But most people don't share publicly that they've had an abortion. And many people have never shared with anyone. I'm like the first person that they've ever talked to about their abortion experience.
There are obviously some aspects of abortion that are still taboo in our society. Mm-hmm. Is it a religious thing? Is it a fear of how society will look at them?
Yeah, I think it's a societal thing. The people really do fear how other people will react to it. Many people really fear that people in their lives will never speak to them again or will speak badly about their abortion experiences. They're really afraid that someone will say something about their abortion that's negative, or that people will just, you know, view them very differently. And I think I felt that in my own community or with my family. Like, I was really afraid of what people might say about my abortion. And I think that is the main issue for many people and why they don't talk about it. There is a huge taboo around having more than one abortion or around, you know, abortion itself, and people are really worried about it.
Who listens to your podcast and why do you think they listen?
I don't know who exactly listens. I wish I knew more about my listenership. I do know how many people listen every month, how many people download the podcast, either through iTunes or SoundCloud or some other podcast app. And there's probably around 4,500 people who are listening every month. But I don't know exactly who they are. I can kind of pinpoint geography. Most of them are from the U.S., but I do have like a worldwide listenership. But I don't know exactly who they are. Once in a while, I do get an email from someone who has had an abortion and feels like they're really grateful to be able to listen to other people share their stories and feel connected to that and not feel alone. And sometimes there are people who are going through the process in this moment and they feel like this is a great way to listen to people's stories and know what an abortion might feel like, what to expect, and to also just remember, you know, because I think that's part of it. It's not just that we know, but to remember that there's millions of other women that have this experience and they're in your communities. And so I think those are a lot of who listens to my podcast. And once in a while, I have a listener survey, and once in a while, someone takes the listener survey. And people do listen for like a wide range of reasons. Some people are just really curious to hear other people's stories, or, you know, they don't know that much about abortion and they want to know more. But most people are people who really want to connect with a community out there that has this experience.
Why do you think it's important to transmit the stories of women and those who've been in relationships with people who've had abortions?
For me, I think the most important part is that for people to know that they're not alone. So people out there who've had this experience, but also for people who haven't had abortions and who are listening to know that we are people. We're just regular people. We're your people in your community. And there's nothing that's different about us than your, you know, neighbor, you know? And I think that's really important. It humanizes an experience that is so, that people don't know very much about. I think that's really the biggest problem that we face, mm-hmm, when we try to talk about abortion, is that most people don't know much about it, but what they do know is very general, and that can be problematic. You know, there's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there that people take in as fact, and they're not. And so I think that's the most important part, that people listen and they hear us as people, it builds empathy and tolerance around issues that are very polarizing. Like, abortion is a very polarizing topic, either out in public or at your dinner table, you know? So I think that it is a great way to be able to say, well, these are real people, and to really listen to us and what our experiences really are, as opposed to, like, what people tell you about us.
And so listening to your podcast could possibly help to break down some societal taboos.
It's surprising that some of them still persist for so long. And I think it's because people really don't hear people's real stories. I was actually in Rochester last week, and I stumbled upon Christian radio station, and they started talking about abortion. And I was, you know, surprised, but I was more worried about what they were saying, because there's no one who's countering that narrative. It's just them on this radio station talking about something that they have very little real information about. And I think that is a real problem, and it's something that we need to figure out how to counter.
I noticed on your podcast that you post your email address, and I wonder, have you received any concerning feedback about the podcast?
You know, I've never really received any negative emails. I did get an email from a pro-life group once wanting me to, like, put some pro-life resources on my website, and I'm not going to do that because I, you know, I'm not going to put any information out there that's going to make anyone feel negatively about their experiences or give out false information. But that's the only thing anyone's ever really emailed me. I have had a few negative comments that I just don't either, like, that I don't post, or that I just kind of delete, but not very much. I've had a little bit of trolling on Instagram, but I just kind of block people. I don't really engage with it because I don't think it's worth my energy.
And what do you see as the future of abortion in the U.S. If President-elect Trump moves forward with his efforts to reverse Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion in the country, what do you think might happen?
It's just a really difficult time for us right now. I think the pro-choice community has been fighting a battle for a long time, and now it's just going to get harder. But I think that many people who have been working to keep abortion legal are sort of prepared to keep on fighting. It's not going to end our fight, but it's going to make it much more difficult. And it's really sad that we're still fighting about it, and that we're still trying to keep abortion legal. It is legal, and that's what it is, and we shouldn't have to fight so hard. But I was just listening to a story of someone who had an abortion before Roe. And she said, you know, that she wanted to share her story because she wants to remind people that abortion was illegal and that women were dying. And that is my greatest fear, right? That we don't want to turn back the clock. And we need to remember that women were dying. And women are not going to stop seeking out abortion. They're just going to have abortions in ways that are unsafe, and they're going to die. And we don't want that. And so that is my biggest worry under a Trump presidency. I think that it's not going to happen straight away, but we need to fight much harder to make sure that it doesn't happen, because Trump and the Republican Party are going to work as hard as they can to reverse Roe. We are not going to let this government go back.
And if people want to learn more about The Abortion Diary, where can they go?
My website, theabortiondiary.com. You can listen on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher Radio. So there's many ways to listen to the podcast.
Dr. Melissa Madera, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me and for listening.